a devotional that I shared with the men as we met on Saturday. If you'll turn to Ephesians chapter 3. This again is not so much a preaching time as looking at some important tools that we can use to chart the course for our church. And yet as we look into God's Word, the work that we're doing is so important because the work of the church is so important. And there's a lot of remarkable statements that are made about the church in Scripture. The fact that Christ is building the church. The fact that He is the head and the mystery that we are the body. That we accomplish the ongoing work of Christ as we follow Him. And this is a remarkable statement found in Ephesians 3:10. We read here, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which He purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. That God is using what we do as a church to display His wisdom, to display the glory of His character, the glory of His grace. In fact, if you go back and look at Ephesians chapter 2, and one of the purposes of God drawing us to Himself, we look at verse 7, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. That as He has gathered the church to Himself, those that have trusted Christ as their Savior, that for all eternity their presence in heaven would be testimony to the grace of God and His kindness and the salvation that we have through the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to keep in mind that all that we do for the glory of God. We're told in the Beatitudes that we're to let our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father who is in heaven. And here the remarkable statement in Ephesians 3:10 is the witness of this glory and wisdom. It is not only people on earth. And it is, as we saw in Ephesians 2:7, a witness that will go on for all eternity in heaven. But even right now, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God. That there is a glory being displayed in places that we cannot see right now, in the mysteries of heaven, in the mysteries of created beings that Scripture gives us a glimpse of, the heavenly hosts and these principalities and powers that God is displaying His wisdom before them. He's making His name known. The work that we do is huge. And God's glory and wisdom, His name is at stake. And I think along these lines of Job, when God was challenged by the evil one, Satan, and Job was accused. Oh, he serves you. As God said, look at, have you observed Job, a righteous man, upright in all his ways and his generation? And Satan's retort is, oh, he serves you because you're good to him. Look how much wealth he has. Look, he's healthy. Look at his good family. You touch those things, or you allow me to touch those things, he will curse you to your face, God. And God, in his sovereign wisdom and his sovereignty even over Job, his life, allowed Satan to do some things that in Satan's mind would cause Job to curse God, but he did not. And God received glory through Job's testimony and the power of God and grace of God in Job's life. So what we do in these meetings, what we do is we set the course for our church is not just about Mountain View Bible Church and expanding whatever this ministry can offer us. It's about the glory of God. It's about the display of His name, and that is so important. As we move ahead, one of the things that the draft committee is working on, the finished product, we talked about core values last week, and the draft committee is writing up those core values, and they are five or six central values of our church, seeking to express them in a word or two. And then maybe even a sentence to explain the value further so that we understand it. And then include any supporting scripture. We did an exercise this past week, and I trust that you're out and able to do that. If you weren't able to attend, I have that exercise. I can get it to you. It is due this Wednesday, the 31st. One of the challenges I gave to you, the five statements that are posted around the building, one of them is get those exercises done and get them in on time. Give effort to it. Give thought to it. Give prayer to it. But get those done so we can look at those things and glean from them as we look to establish the core values. Again, one of the purposes of the leaders is not simply to put our finger in the wind and see what does the people think the church should go, but really this is giving us opportunity. How is the church thinking? And if they're thinking in a way that's unbiblical, things come up. We can address those things and teach on those things. And so this is very helpful in many ways. Core values set forth the attitudes and approaches and activities that our church values. And some are more core than others. Those those things that are the true core values will be the motivating forces behind all that we do. Those are the things that will be written down and that we will keep before us. Certainly one of those will be that commitment to God's Word, a core value. That God's Word is our final authority for faith and practice. And that will drive what we do. We will use the Scripture for our instruction. We will trust the power of the Gospel to change lives because we recognize the value of God's Word. And so we will be that will be core of what we do. But now we move to the next step in this process, the core value being what motivates and behind. Then we come to a purpose statement. A purpose statement is clarifying the reason your church exists. And the key word in that statement is clarifying. If I can go back to the cruise illustration that we gave the first time we were together. If someone that was very wealthy had access to a cruise ship and allowed us to take a cruise, and we got to plan that, we would have to think about what was the purpose of that cruise. And if there were some people that were thinking that the purpose of the cruise was a mission trip, and there were others that were thinking, well, we do mission work and service all the time, the purpose of this cruise is a little break. Maybe someone else is into history, and someone says, well, the purpose of this cruise is a archaeology or a church history tour. You have those conflicting purposes, and you get going out on this cruise, you're going to have some frustrated people. You know, some people are going to say, this is about missions, and we're sitting around playing ping pong. You know, that's not the cruise I signed up for. And so you can see how purpose and understanding that unified purpose is really important. Is a purpose statement biblical? Certainly, as we look at the general purpose of what God has called us to do, as I just covered from Ephesians 3:10 in the Beatitudes, the fact that God's glory is that major purpose for all that we do, to glorify God. But there is more narrowing down a mission purpose. When Christ gathered his disciples before his ascension, after his resurrection, he gave them a mission that narrowed glorifying God. They are to glorify God in obedience to this mission. But the mission was what? In Matthew 28. Go into all the world and preach the gospel and make disciples, baptizing them, teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And so that's what they were to do. And by way of extension, as we understand, as the apostles, the disciples, handed that off to the local churches, it was established and the Holy Spirit came and we had the power and authority to go forward and carry out this purpose. That is our purpose, to make disciples. And so they, that small group of 12 or disciples who were gathered there, they understood they didn't exist to feed the poor. Although that is a good thing and a kind thing to do that Christians should do as we have opportunity. But that wasn't their ultimate purpose. They didn't exist to free slaves or to enter the political realm. Or a host of other good things. Their purpose was what? Go into all the world and make disciples. And that's the cruise they got on. And that's what they needed to do. But then as different ones went out, there were purposes that became even more narrow than that. A focused purpose. We're told in Ephesians 15:16 that Paul is describes himself this way, as the apostle to the Gentiles. Initially, he did some preaching to the Jews. But as God and his sovereign purposes was extending the gospel to all people and to all nations, Paul was on the front end of that calling, and he was to go to the Gentiles. In fact, later on in that passage, you even have even a more narrow, if I could say that, a more narrow purpose, as Paul says, my burden, my passion is to preach the gospel or to preach Christ where he is has not been heard before. Talk about a narrowing purpose. Maybe he would come into a city, and if the gospel had already entered that place and the gospel work had been done there and is ongoing, Paul's purpose drove him to go to places where the gospel hadn't been preached yet, where there was no gospel witness. Now, some people were called to stay where the gospel had already been preached and pastor and disciple and spread out from there, but not Paul. Paul said, that purpose was even more narrow. We have an example in Scripture, even in Revelation 2 and 3, of straying from purpose. Those churches left their first love, and you could look through those passages and see different ways that those churches strayed from their purpose. And so having a purpose is biblical. The purpose of a local church. Now, as we look at a purpose statement, we're going to find when you're talking about a local church, we were all drawing from the same book, God's Word, and God's Word gives us the purposes of a local church. You're going to find that in many ways, if they're biblical local churches, their purposes are going to be very, very much similar. And so at the center of that, again, is God's glory. Revelation 4:11, we're told that Christ made all things for and or by his pleasure. They are and were created. That we are here to serve the pleasure of Christ, his glory, to make his wisdom known as we follow him. And that should be the core value and purpose of a church. As a church seeks to display God's glory, we look at Scripture and we find there are four ways that a church does this. The first way is through worship and thanksgiving. A particular Godward focus as we magnify his name in our worship services, as we acknowledge his worth, as we give thanks to him, we acknowledge that he is the one who gives power, he is the one who gives us our daily bread. In fact, it's interesting that when Paul went to Acts, in Acts 17, when Paul went to Athens, he had been in another city, and because of persecution there, he ended up in Athens alone. And he observed that city as he passed through the city. And the statement of Scripture, I believe, is this. He saw that the city was wholly given to idolatry. And the passage goes on and says that Paul's spirit was stirred. That's an interesting word. It almost carries the idea of angered. He was frustrated by this. And the passage goes on and says, what Paul was frustrated by was this, that these people were worshiping false gods. They were giving glory and worth to those things that were not the true God. The city was wholly given to idolatry, and Jesus Christ is the one true living God, and they were not worshiping him. So he was burdened to do something about that. It is interesting that the driving passion of his evangelism was God's glory. Did Paul have a love for the lost, a compassion to see them saved, and avoid the condemnation of God in the lake of fire for all eternity? Yes, he did. But here, at least in this point, what came to the surface was not so much his compassion for the lost, but certainly that was there, but his passion that God be worshipped, not idols. And he went into the city. And he preached Christ to them. And so worship and thanksgiving is something that a church does. Next, we see discipling believers, teaching and edifying. the ministry of God's Word to those who have accepted Christ for the glory of God. There is holiness and calling. You were to go through Scripture and you were to read some of the purpose statements of why God has saved us. And we will find purpose statements like, for all eternity, God's name would be known, the riches of His grace. We would see God's purposes in His compassion for us. And He came to seek and to save the lost. But you would also find purpose statements like in Titus 2 and 1 Timothy 2:9, where we are to be a light, that God calls us out of this world and sets us apart to good works, sets us apart from iniquity, that we would be zealous of doing what's right. That's our calling, to be holy, to be that salt and light in this world, that people would look and see the glory of God in our holy living. That needs to be a purpose of a local church. Then, lastly, evangelizing unbelievers. I don't say lastly in as like we're putting these in order. Okay, they flow from the central primary, God's glory, but this is what all churches must do. And if you think through that, you begin to see that there's certain things that we do when we're gathered together, and there's certain things that we do when we're scattered. There's certain things that are focused particularly on God, and there's certain things that are focused on others. We see worship and thanksgiving and discipling believers. That's mainly what a church does, is we gather together. Okay, we need to have those times in as we look later on in our strategies, in our critical ministry areas, those things that we do where we gather together and we're discipling believers and we're gathering together to give God glory and worshiping Him and giving Him praise. Right? But there are also things that we do when we're dispersed. We need to live holy lives in this auditorium. But living holy lives in this auditorium does nothing for the people who need to see holy lives in Jaffrey and Dublin and Marlborough or in Keene. They need to see how a Christian does his taxes, as I mentioned this morning, in honor and obedience to the government, because God says we need to honor authority over us. How a Christian responds to gossip in the workplace, to divisions, all that holiness. How a Christian handles his tongue and handles his purity, and that needs to get out there if it's to be salt and light. That's the church dispersed and evangelizing unbelievers. Again, the church something we do outside of this. And then these on the one side here on the right side, our relationship with God. Right, drawing from that, and the other side, we have our relationship with people, and both need to be right. So all churches are going to be doing that. But a purpose statement goes beyond simply those major things that all biblical churches should be doing, and begins to ask the question, does our church have a specific purpose? As Paul laid out, I'm the apostle to the Gentiles. My specific purpose is to go where there has been no gospel preached yet, where no church has been planted. That narrows it down. Right? And so we want to look at the elements of writing up a purpose statement that would reflect these things. They need to reflect all the things that a biblical local church needs to do, but also the thinking that we put into, what about Mountain View Bible Church? Why Mountain View Bible Church here and now? What makes us? Right, includes in broad principle all that you do. It is a concise statement of why you exist. Easy enough to remember, but not a slogan. Right, not something that that you could put up just on a banner. It's more than that. But it's also not a book. About 7 years ago, I wrote up a mission statement. It's 14 pages. It's outline form, and most of that is scripture. It's a good document that the guys have been using to draw from. But that's not a purpose statement, although it covers foundational truths that we need to stand on and be doing. It should not include programs or methods. A purpose statement is, we're the Sunday School Bible Church, or, we're the whatever, all right? That comes, those are strategies. That comes later. All right? And it can state that you're a church or a congregation, right? And it, so people know, we know, that's what we are. If you're a mission organization, you're not a church, you're going to state that. If you're a camp, if you're a school, right, you're going to state that. Right? So if you're a congregation, you're a local church, that needs to be in there because that carries meaning, purpose, weight, and it can identify your target audience, as Paul said. It doesn't necessarily have to, but it can. Right? So those are elements of a purpose statement. I'm going to give you an assignment to take home in a moment where you're going to write one of these for our church. Right? And I'll have more to say about that. So you need to have memorized all that was on the screen. Okay. No, well, you'll get the hang of it just by looking at some of the samples. But find a distinctive difference. Can all churches exist to glorify God? How is your church different from others? Certainly by location, we're different. We are different than the church that's in where the DCA ensemble was this morning, Baker River Bible Church. We're not reaching the people of Baker River. I mean, if we were trying to do that, we're not in a good location. Okay, but now with the internet, we can reach anyone. You know, someone said to me, I don't have to come to church anymore. You know, I'll just listen to sermons online. I said to him, this is a deacon, by the way. I said to him, if that's the case, we'll have to break your legs and declare you a shut-in. So if you can't come out, then you can. But, so how is your church different from others? And certainly the purpose of a local church, I don't want to go here, but, you know, we have internet churches now, but if you look at some of the purpose of what churches are to do in worship and in fellowship and such, and just a lot of that can't happen. All right. Why should people attend your church when there is one down the road that is almost the same? Why not close our doors and go to another Bible preaching church in our area? All right. Maybe you conclude there isn't another Bible preaching church in our area. Okay. Then there's a good reason for us to be here. But if there are, and I think there are a few, maybe not taking the same standards and stand that we're taking, maybe those are some issues why you're here. All right? But there are other some evangelical works that are preaching the gospel. If our church were to shut down tomorrow, what church would you go to in this area? Okay? And if there wasn't one you would go to, then you would start one, or you'd get a group to start one, or you'd move somewhere, because you have to have a local church to be obedient to Scripture. And, all right? How can you express the distinctiveness of your church on paper? And this is the value of this. Because a lot of churches, and for a long time for us, you know, it's out there. We know what we are, don't we? We all know what cruise we're on, don't we? Yeah, you've been talking to people. You find that people think they're on a different cruise than someone else. And that can lead to some frustrations. And it can lead to even wrong strategies. And so getting it down. And again, I say, not me getting it down. Or even just this draft committee getting it down. Although we're doing the service and the work behind the scenes. But you, that's why it was so important for you to be there this past week. So we can hear from you. We can know what you're thinking. Make sure you're thinking biblically. So we together can think through what is a biblical church and what do we value and what are our distinctives. And so I have that brainstorming or aspirational values here. If you didn't get it, get one. And if you need another one, if you did it in pen and you're like, I need to do this again in pencil because it is a bit involved, then you can get another one. All right? Wallpaper your room with it. All right. Here's an example. An example that this, I don't think this is a very good one, just because it doesn't, and maybe the Maranatha Baptist Church doesn't have any really distinctive things in it. Where is it? Where's Maranatha? I mean, you know, okay, it's not a place, by the way. Right, so it's a Baptist church. Okay, so our purpose is to be a congregation used of God to make and equip disciples of Jesus Christ. So that's in our community and around the world. Right, so that's kind of generic, but it's good. That's the idea. A purpose statement for Mountain View Bible Church, and I'm going to hand this out when we're all done. It's due in 2 weeks, Sunday, February 11th. When you get this, there's going to be 10 purpose statements that are written on there. And the guys that got together on Saturday, this is one of the things we did. We talked through some of the issues that were from Scripture, some of the things we've talked about here. We looked at some of the distinctives of our church. Some of them are obvious by our location and by our heritage. Right? And we talked through, we debated, we arm wrestled, we did all kinds of things as we went through all this. And then we said, okay, now what are we going to do from now? And I said to him, one of the assignments that I'm going to give to the church is I've got to have 5 to 7 sample core values, and they're going to circle the one that they think is best or write their own. And so I think maybe, and someone said, well, let's do that. We'll want to do that together? Well, no. And we talked a little bit. So let's break up. And so we had some that did it on their own, and some broke up into groups of 2. There was 8 there, and we came up with 10. And some of them are same, except they add a statement. And so so when we're all done, I'm going to hand those out, and the assignment is for you to take that, look at those 10, read through them, and then which one do you think? Again, this isn't like you circle it, that's it, boom. All right, this is a draft, all right? And as we begin, because we still haven't gotten all the information on core values and other things, so just work in this, all right, trying to. So here is, I think the next one is, here is one, and I'm not even going to tell you who did this. I often say I don't want to poison the well, all right, as I begin to tell you, well, this is what I think, all right? There comes a point where I'm going to tell you what I think, and there's some issues I must tell you what I think as pastor, and as, especially if you're not thinking according to the Bible. But there's some areas where I'm going to be careful so that you think through these things on your own. All right, so this will be the first one. It's just number one because it's first on the page. Right. We got some English people in here, and purpose statements are hard to put together because I don't know how all these clauses and commas and, you know, so there's better way to, I think there's better ways to word this, and that's part of the process, but not the main part. We're not just trying to get a nifty statement. We want to get one that was what our purpose is. For the glory of God, beginning in the Monadnock region, the Mountain View Bible Church is enthusiastically committed to evangelizing the lost and helping them become grounded in the Word of God so that they will become increasingly obedient followers and worshipers of God. We have the purpose of God's glory. We have something that defines beginning in the Monadnock region. It kind of gives, in a sense, a primary focus. We're going to start here. All right? And then beyond, that our calling is beyond in missions. That's what we are with the Mountain View Bible Church. Enthusiastically, we're excited about this. We're passionate. We're putting our treasure on the line and our time and our life as a living sacrifice for this. We're committed to it. To evangelizing the lost carries the gospel message there. The lost carries the idea of that there are people that are lost. All right? They don't hear the gospel, they're lost. Helping them become grounded in the Word of God. All right? Evangelizing, that is winning them to Christ, and then not just leaving them there. Whatever, you know, evangelism that just, you know, counts numbers and that's it. No, it's counting converts a year later and seeing them persevere in the faith and going on and grow in the Word so that they become increasingly obedient. The idea that this growth never stops and is edifying. Followers and the idea of worshipers of God, that is our... All right, so it's all kind of packed in there. All right. Now, one of the things that we really discuss in this is our unique heritage and where we are. All right. In 1964, Dublin Christian Academy was started. In 1982, Mountain View Bible Church was started. And the core group of people that started Mountain View Bible Church were those that were associated with Dublin Christian Academy. All right. So that is what we are. That's reality. Okay. How does that relate to our purpose? We've got to be clear on that. Because if you sign up for a cruise that has nothing to do with Dublin Christian Academy, you're on the wrong boat. Because this ministry is connected to that. Yet at the same time, if there are others that are saying, You know, it's all about Dublin Christian Academy, and you know, the church is kind of, you know, the kind of campus church type thing. If the purpose is to provide a campus church for DCA, and then you've got people on their crews that are pushing for stuff that goes beyond that, you've got problems, right? And so that needs to be clarified right in the purpose statement. And one of the things that we're wrestling through together is, how is that worded? How do we get that? How does that work? These aren't easy. They're easy questions to say the words, but it's hard to work through them, and that's where we are. And so, the next one is the exact same statement, but it is worded in a way that includes the fact that we meet on the campus of Dublin Christian Academy. And so this is how it goes. For the glory of God, beginning in the Monadnock region, and based on the campus of Dublin Christian Academy, the Mountain View Bible Church is enthusiastically committed to evangelizing the lost and helping them become, etc. You see how that statement impacts purpose in a huge way. And it's something that needs to be known by the people who are in the church. All right? And how that is worded will impact things that are done. Even in that purpose statement, as we put based on the campus of Dublin Christian Academy, it goes to, as God would provide, if this auditorium were to fill up, and we were to add 80% capacity, and we say, you know, we need to put a building up. Where do you put that building? If it's worded that way, where does the building go? On campus. All right? Now, core values are solid. Purpose statements are solid, but purpose statements can change as God directs. And so we could put something like that, and issues may change. But yet, if it's in a purpose statement, it's important enough to put it in there, then that's something that's there. All right? And so those are some important issues as we seek to do the work of a local church where we are. All right? And so we're making progress. Okay? Continuity, the things that don't change, core doctrine, our core values, our core purpose, the glue that holds us together. Where we're headed down the road next week, 2 weeks, next week we have the afternoon meeting to begin to work through this together, is vision, okay? We've got our purpose. How are we going to accomplish that? What's our goal for 5 years? What we want to be, what we want to be accomplishing. And then from there, then we start talking about programs that support the ministry that we're trying to do here. And so this is really important. And it's important not just because of the stuff I said at the end about our unique heritage and all that. Those are questions that are important questions, but it's important because it's about the glory of God. It's about what this local church must be from Scripture. And I feel like in the past, I have, and I use this illustration, it came to me just as we were talking to the guys this weekend. I feel like in the past, I have given messages on the local church, stuff just like that, the glory of God, this is what a church should be doing, and I got the engine going. You know, it's going, and we've never really put it in gear. And I think that's frustrated me with myself, and maybe it's frustrated with you at times. At times we got it in gear, you know, and you know, if you have a car with a clutch, you know, and we pop the clutch. You know, all right, try it again. Stall it out, you know. You do that enough time, and people start saying, "This car doesn't work. It doesn't work." And so it's important that before we start revving the engine, start running after ministry and stuff, that we begin to know how to drive the car and what direction we want to go and how fast and all those things. And so these are important times, and these are excellent tools for us to use as a church, excellent tools for you to use in your life as well. What are the core values of your life? Why are you here on earth? Why you here now? What are you giving your time to, as I said this morning? How does that reflect on what you really value? How you spent this last week? Could you lay out the programs of your last week, the events of the last week, and see how they fit in with what you value in your life? Have you thought through these things? You need to. Because God has given you your life for His glory. He wants you to use it for His glory. And that's where you'll find fulfillment and satisfaction. Let's pray together. Father, thank You that we could be hearing these things. Thank You that in Your providence You have allowed us to be introduced to some of these methods that can help us think and to address the very purpose of our church. Lord, we have such a rich heritage. You have done through this ministry and the combined ministries here so many marvelous things for Your glory. We want to see that continue. And we want to see it continue by Your grace and Your power and by Your leading. Lord, I pray that we would have that. Lord, I ask that as these assignments are handed out on the purpose, that we would not just get so much a consensus view, Lord, but that you would help us to have Your mind, Your direction, the unity of the Spirit that only You can give. And I pray that You would do that. In Jesus' name, amen.